Welcome back. It's Tony Robbins. Listen, I want to talk to you about a subject that is maybe the most powerful thing to control what you will or will not do in your life. It's a subject called the power of identity. You know, people ask me all the time, what determines what people really do long term? Like anybody can get in state and get themselves to do something in a moment. But whatever we do consistently is always tied to the way we define ourselves. What is identity? Every one of us have a way of defining who we are. Are you a person that makes things happen? Are you a procrastinator? Are you a loser? Are you a winner? Are you funny as hell? Are you dead serious? Well, however you've labeled yourself through time tends to stick. And there's a reason. In fact, I'd like to even jot this phrase down if you wouldn't. Take it in and don't forget it. If you want to know what controls human behavior, your behavior, mine, any human being you're around, here's what you need to remember. The strongest force in the human personality is the need to stay consistent with how we define ourselves. I'm gonna say that again. The strongest force that controls your personality, yours and mine, the strongest force in the human personality is the need to stay consistent with how we define ourselves. So I'm sure you've known people, for example, who are in a place where they feel frustrated with their life. They've gotten excited about doing something and then they go to do it and they get afraid and they pull back. And maybe this has been you. It certainly was me for many, many years. I'd like, oh, I'm gonna make this happen. And then I'd go, oh, I'd say, here's my goal. I'm gonna make it happen. And my voice inside my head would go, who are you kidding? Or I'd start to go for it. And then I'd be afraid of being rejected. And I'd pull back or I would try. You know what try is, right? You kind of do it so you can tell yourself, well, I tried, but you didn't do it with total commitment because you're afraid that if you gave your all and it didn't work, you'd feel like you're not enough. All of us have this fear that we're not enough at something. And it's not this pop psychology that people talk about all the time, or I'm imposter syndrome, that's all BS. All it really is we're all afraid that we're not enough, because if we're not enough, we're afraid we won't be loved. And everybody has it. I've worked with the greatest athletes in the world, like with presidents of countries, kings, queens. I've never met anyone who doesn't have that fear at some point. So what we do is develop an identity, a way of defining who we are, and we live within that identity, that story. If your story is I'm always trying and falling short, and you tell yourself that all the time, it becomes who you think you are, not I've tried dozens of things, they haven't worked. I gotta find better dozens of things to try. You know, whenever people say to me, I've tried everything, I go, that's not true. Have you tried, what have you tried? Well, I've tried millions of things. I've tried everything to lose weight. I've tried everything to find a relationship. I've tried everything to start a business. I've tried everything to turn things around. What have you done? Tell me, I've tried millions of things. Millions, name them. Well, I don't know. I've done at least done thousands, name them. Hundreds, name them. I did do these two stupid things that don't work over and over again. But if you try to do something and then you pull back because you're afraid, which is human nature, and you try again, you pull back, after a while, you don't want to be disappointed. So you redefine yourself and you say, you know, I'm one of those people that always, I'm a procrastinator. Now, you'll never achieve your goals again, but at least you're certain who you are. I'm sure you've heard of people that have had what they call an identity crisis. Often they describe a man turning 40 and needing a Ferrari and wanting to leave his relationship, or a woman now suddenly wants to be a completely different person. Well, yeah, we can go through stages of life where we question who we are. That's what an identity crisis is. Because if you don't know who you are, how do you make the decision about what to do? So if you're going through this course right now and you find yourself at a point where it's like, am I good enough for this? Are people really gonna listen to me? Do I have strong enough knowledge? Is this, why are they gonna listen to me? I'm not that kind of person. Then you're just being human. But you can't let the humanness get in the way of your progress, because there's something that is beyond just human. It's human to be fearful. It's human to give up. It's also extraordinarily human to find a way to step up, to break through. So if you can shift your identity, you can shift anything. The way I know I've helped someone, and I know they're gonna have lasting change, not short-term change, is there's been a shift in their identity. I'll give you an example. I don't know if you or someone you know ever smoked cigarettes, but if you ever smoked cigarettes before and now you don't smoke, and I come along and I say to you, would you like a cigarette? You're not gonna say, what brand is it? What will you say? I'm not a smoker. I'm not one of those. How do you define your identity? By who you are and by who you're not. So if I said to you, who are you? That sounds like really esoteric question, doesn't it? What kind of person are you? What do you really like? Most of us will give a definition of ourselves that we came up with decades ago. And we're still living it because it's the box. It's the story we're living inside of. But if you shift that story, if you shift your identity, if you claim another part of yourself, the whole game can change. So I want you to understand, identity is a force that controls you. I'll give you another metaphor. If I come in this studio here and I turn on the thermostat at, I don't know, 68 degrees, and the temperature here, obviously there's computers, it'll measure the room. That's like your brain. And it goes, you're a 68 degreeer. 68 degrees is gonna be our metaphor for your identity. 68 degrees is how much, it's not what you want, it's who you believe you are. Lots of people have big goals, but they believe they're not enough for it. So if 68 degrees is the level that, not my goals, but it's the level I'm comfortable with financially. 68 degrees, I want more, but I'm used to 68 degrees. Do you follow me? That's my mindset. That's my comfort zone. And 68 degrees is my metaphor for how close I'm willing to be with other human beings, intimacy-wise. And 68 degrees is how spiritually connected I feel to God that I'm comfortable with, or the universe, or whatever you want to call it, or what I'm like in terms of finances. And if I'm a 68 degreeer, and then suddenly, you know, I lose the temperature, I drop down 67, 65, 66, 59, you know what's gonna happen in this room. The computer, your brain's gonna go, hey, you're a 68 degreeer, what are you doing here at 59? And you're gonna feel the heaters kick on. You're gonna feel that drive that says, I gotta do something. Have you ever had that happen to you? Ever got things where they were so bad that all of a sudden your brain said, not another day, not another hour, I gotta lose some weight. I can't fit in these jeans anymore. I can't fit in this damn chair anymore. I gotta do something. Or I can't live this way anymore financially. I can't live this way in my relationship. I've got to change. Have you had that experience? I bet you have. But you know what's crazy? If the thermostat, your identity, is 68 degrees, that's the metaphor, how comfortable you are with your body, the level of fitness or health, whatever, your finances, your career, and things start getting better, and it goes 69, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 98 degrees, all of a sudden the computer goes, hey, what are you doing up here? You're not a 98 degreeer, you're a 68 degreeer. And the first thing that happens is the heater stops, your drive stops. If you're in sales, now you don't go sell things, you go spend money, you go shopping, right? And if not losing your drive's not enough, then the air conditioners kick on to bring you right back down where you think you deserve to be, and that's called sabotage. Can you relate? Have you ever had things going so well and then you say something in that relationship, or you do something, or you don't do something, and it messes it up? We all have. So the power of identity is where you're gonna create lasting change. And the identity that you wanna take a look at is, you wanna take a look at who you are, not who you've been. Every day you can build and change that identity, but here's the problem. We judge who we are by what we do. And so one of the things I learned early in my life was to get myself to do things that I thought were not me. I'm not like one of those people. I'm not that outgoing. I can't stand up in front of that group of people and speak, but I made myself do it. One of the biggest mistakes in life that we make is people say, oh, I'm not ready. They wait till they're ready. You're ready when you step up and make yourself do something. When you have to do it, you're ready. Have you noticed that? When you have to find an answer, your brain will find the answer. But when it's a should or I'm not comfortable yet, if I waited until I was ready, if I was ready until I felt certain to do something, I wouldn't be standing here before you or sitting here before you right now. Because if we can't wait till we feel a certain way, if you do certain things, you'll start to feel that way. It's the reverse of what people think. So I'll give you an example of how the Chinese communists in North Korea, North Vietnam, I should say, how they converted people during the Vietnam War. They would take American GIs, and the North Vietnamese learned from the Chinese, and they taught them how to change someone's identity. That if they try to just influence them by punishing them, abusing them, they'd get limited information, because almost every soldier was taught name, rank, and serial number. You don't give them anything else. But during the Korean War, and then again during Vietnam, they used some of these techniques and they got more people to convert and give information, American GIs, than any time in history. And they didn't do it by abuse. They did it because they understood we judge who we are by what we do, which by the way is totally unfair. Your identity, the identity you hold for other people, controls what you'll do. It controls how much you'll open to them. It controls how you think about them. Even if the identity is false, it's gonna control you. Well, the identity you have for yourself is what controls everything. So the Chinese understood we judge ourselves in a way that's unfair. Sometimes you get in a state that smart people do stupid things. You're not stupid because you did some stupid things. You just did some stupid things. But they understood this psychology. So here's what they did. They take these guys they caught, like the airmen in Vietnam, they'd throw them in a cell, and they wouldn't abuse them and beat them. They would isolate them. And then they'd take them into a room to do interrogation. And every soldier's ready to be interrogated, thinks they're gonna be beat, punished, whatever, and they didn't do that. They just light a cigarette, and they'd uncuff the guy, and a guy would have a cup of tea at the time, and you just have a conversation with him for hours and hours and hours and hours till the guy was completely exhausted. And in the conversation, he never forced him, he never pushed him, but I'm talking, when I say hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours, till the person's brain was just fried. And they'd say things like, listen, I'm not here to harm you. I didn't come to your country and bomb your country. You've come to my country. We've done nothing to you here in Vietnam. You have to admit, we've done nothing to you, and yet you're bombing us. I mean, how is that humane? How is that human? And more importantly, could you at least acknowledge that in our country, where we have this communist approach, everybody has a job. You have people at home that don't have a job. You have people at home that are suffering. And that all this in the beginning doesn't matter, but after 8 or 10 or 14 hours, they'd finally get the guy to say, listen, can't you just admit that we didn't attack you? Fine, we didn't attack you. Okay? So we didn't provoke this. No, you didn't provoke this. And by the way, everybody here has a job. People don't, no, fine, you're right. And after they said this over and over again, and they went into this conversation further, and they said, well, then write that down. I'm not gonna write this down. If it's the truth, why wouldn't you write it down? Fine, you know, we didn't attack you, we didn't do this, you didn't attack us, you know? And they get this writing. And over time, they get the person to write all these things till they're so exhausted, no one beat them, no one gave, if someone had beat them, they could say, I said that because I was abused. Your mind would give you room. If they'd given you some reward, some giant reward, your brain could rationalize, well, I needed the food. But they didn't do that. And so after 12, 13, 14 hours, they'd say, okay, you've written this thing, and then they had you sign it. And then you went back to your cell, and guess what they did? They read it over the loudspeaker. And the other prisoners would come to you and say, what are you doing? Did you say this? Well, did they beat you? No. Did they give you? No. Well, why'd you say it? Because it's true. In that moment, they converted people because they got them to do something that was inconsistent with their old identity. So why am I telling you all this? Because to have the quality of life you want, you have to define who you are and who you're not, but you got to be able to upgrade it. It's time for a new story. How have you been saying to yourself, I don't have anything of real value. I'm not really sure this is going to work. You don't have to be sure. Just do it. Just do what we've shown you and put it out there and change a little bit, change a little bit, change a little bit, and you're going to find the formula that works. That's what I did. That's what Dean did. That's what anybody we've worked with around the world, of 150,000 or 200,000 people, I guess now we have, they found a way. They found something that they could share because they shifted their identity. So the way to do it is get yourself to do something different than you've ever done before. So here's what I want to leave you with. I call it five to thrive. How do you take this metaphor I've been talking about and make it real? Whenever I want to know where someone is and how to help them have a better quality of life, extraordinary life, I look at five elements. I look at first, this first core triangle. And the triangle is made up of what controls how you feel. If I want to change what I do, I got to change how I feel. If you want to go on a diet and your brain goes, I know. I need to lose weight. I know. I'm going to go on a diet. Yep. I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to work out. Is it going to happen? Hell no, because you're not in the right state. So when you're trying to work out or you're trying to do a course or you're trying, it doesn't work. So you got to put yourself in the right state. If you're in a state of determination, if you're like, I can't wear these fat pants one more moment. I can't settle for my life financially like one more day. Whatever it is, if you get to that point inside yourself, and I'm sure you've been there at some point where you're going to make a shift. If you get, whatever way, you get inspired by someone else, if they can do this, I know I can do it. If something either inspires you or pisses you off enough, that you start to shift. and you change states and now you get determined. If you're determined, if you're committed, if you're driven, dieting's easy. But if you're trying to do it, it won't happen. So if we want to change our state from uncertain to certain, where I'm not taking action to I am taking action, then in this triangle, the base is change the way you use your body. If you've been with me before in any kind of seminar, if you ever come to Unleash the Power Within, which I hope you do, because in 4 days of immersion, you won't hear this stuff. You'll be doing it day in and day out, 10, 12 hours a day, and you'll discover you got more energy than you ever thought was possible, and you're gonna leave there wired, like building a muscle. You don't build a muscle by talking about it, but when you lift something that's hard, not a light thing, you do a light thing 100 times, you get no progress. But if I take something that's so hard, I can barely do 8 curls, and I do 10, the muscle expands, it gets bigger, and now what was hard becomes easy. So the first thing we wanna do is change the way you're using your body, because your emotions are controlled by the way they move while you talk. If I was speaking to you and I say to you, well, I really think you should consider changing your identity. And over the next 7,000 hours of this seminar, you're gonna change. You might go kill this guy, right? If you change the tempo of your speech, if you change the way you gesture, if you change the way you move, I'm not gonna try and teach you all this right now, but I want you to know emotion is created by motion. So if I wanna change my state, if I wanna get more determined, I gotta change by using my body in a different way. Do you know they've done studies on if you just create tension in your body for 30 seconds to a minute, your willpower will increase approximately 30%. Or some of you may know, because I've shared this before, that Harvard did a study after all these decades of my teaching, change your body, change your life, change your movement, change your emotion. They did a study and they called it power postures. And they showed that if you stand like this, like standing up straight, like you're Wonder Woman or Batman or Superman, hands on hips, shoulders back, head up, for just 2 minutes, there is a biochemical change that'll happen in your body in 2 minutes, and it'll change your behavior. The first thing that happens is you have a force of testosterone. Whether you're a man or a woman, it shoots to your body, about 25%+ increase in your bloodstream in 2 minutes. That gives you drive to do something, even if you're afraid. Number two, your cortisol drops, as you'll see on the screen. That's the stress hormone. And you're 33% more likely to take an action. So if you want to get yourself to shift, at any moment, change your body, you'll change your movement, change the way you're doing something more aggressively with your voice, your gestures, your movements, things will change. Then the second part of this is changing your focus. Because how you feel is controlled by how you use your body and what you focus on. If you're focusing, oh my God, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to start, I've never done this before, I'm not certain, well, that's what you're gonna feel. If you're like focused on, no, I'm gonna master this. I don't need to do this perfectly. But I'm gonna do this well, and I'm gonna get better each day, better and better, and I'm gonna find the way. I'm gonna find the secret to making this work. I've got the course here. I'm gonna keep moving forward. I'm gonna get there. You're gonna feel strong if you do that with your body and your focus. Because remember this, we don't experience life. We experience the life we focus on. See, if you're really happy in your life right now, your brain does three things. It distorts, it deletes, and it generalizes. Generalizers say, this always happens. You know, I always find the way to victory, or I always fail, right? That's a generalization, right? Distorting is when you take something and make it better or worse than it was. And deleting is when you take it out. So if you're really happy right now, you're happy because you're deleting all the things in your life you could be feeling worried or sad or pissed off about. If you're pissed off right now, you're deleting all the things you could be happy about. You understand? So we don't experience life. There's a million things going on, but when you focus on something, you feel it. You ever gone to a funeral or something and people are in a really sad place and then someone stands up and they tell a story about the deceased and it's a funny story. At the end, you were crying a minute ago or really sad and now you're laughing? Because when they told the story changed your focus. And when you focus on something funny or humorous or loving or inspirational, you feel that way. That's why it's so important you put your time into this course and not the things that ring in your pocket and come to you from the news. Because the news knows the way to get your attention is disrupt you, upset you, anger you, right? Put fear in you. People in the media, they're not bad people. They're just doing their job. Their job is get your attention. The minute they get your eyeballs, they get paid. That's why we have clickbait. The title doesn't match the article. Why? They just want you to click on it and they get paid. You and I gotta take control of our own focus. And when we do, we change our life. We gotta focus on what we want instead of what we fear. Remember the difference between faith and fear? Remember what the definition is? What is the difference between faith and fear? Well, fear and faith are both made up. They're your imagination, because no one knows what the future is going to be for sure. But the difference is fear is imagination undirected. So it grows like weeds. When you have faith, you've decided to focus on what you want and why it's important and that you're going to make it happen. And in your body, you produce certainty. Make sense? And then the third one, real fast, is language. The words we use affect the way we feel. We all have habits of words. Some people's words are, the word they use most always is, I feel so uncertain. I feel so out of control. I feel so worried. I feel so sad. Do you know somebody that's always worried? Do you know somebody who's always pissed off? Do you know somebody that's not really funny but thinks they are, right? Well, people have a tendency to develop like a pattern of emotion, and that comes from using their body a certain way, focusing on life a certain way, and using the same words over and over again. And if you keep saying the same words, you're going to keep feeling the same feelings. So I want to tell you that if you change these three things in a moment, you can change anything. But whether or not you will change these things I've told you is determined on two things. And number one, do you have a compelling future? Have you come up with something, that you really want and you've envisioned it and you're excited about it? And the good book, a really good book called The Good Book, it says, without a vision, people perish. So if you don't have a vision for your career or your business, if you don't have a vision for your relationship, if you don't have a vision for your body, nothing changes. And people are afraid to have a vision because they're afraid to be disappointed. Well, disappointment is part of life. Disappointment either destroys you or drives you. You get a little disappointed, you go, no, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to find another way. But you've got to have, if your today is tough, you got to have a compelling future, a vision for tomorrow that's compelling, that's exciting. If you have a compelling future, you can deal with any tough today. But then the strongest one is what I started with, which is identity. Excuse my cough. Identity is the strongest force of all. So I can change my body, I can change my focus, I can change my language, but whether or not I'm going to do it is, do I have a reason to? Is there something I'm committed to, like this new business, this new career for you, this new opportunity to take things you've learned or things you're currently learning and share them with others and have an impact and produce an income? So I'm here to tell you, if you want to change your life, it doesn't come down to just listening to shit. It's doing something. Make yourself do some things regularly that you would never do, and your identity will change, right? Stop judging yourself by what you used to be like and decide who you're going to be now and what would you do if you were that person. And just take action. 7 seconds of courage. Or do some incantations. Get up in the morning and decide what you're going to say to yourself over and over, like a song. Like, have you ever made that fatal mistake of going to Disneyland or Disney World and getting on a ride called It's a Small World After All, where you hear that damn song in 160 different languages for like 10 minutes on the ride? And what's in your head for the next 3 weeks? That frickin' song. Well, why not create the song of who you've now become or who you're now becoming? Because with the right identity, you will do what it takes to succeed. And what does it take? It just takes someone who won't give up. It takes persistence. Of all the skills on earth, nothing is more powerful than persistence. So I'm just sending you my love and respect. If you're this far into the program and you're watching this message still, there's something inside you that's hungry for more. Something inside you that's not going to settle. And all you need is to remember that you're more than you think you are and make yourself do a few of the things that seem a little difficult. And by the way, you do the difficult thing and the muscle grows, not just the physical muscle, the emotional and spiritual muscles. So let's continue this journey, because this is not just about building a new career or a new business. This is about building a new you. This is about tapping into what's already inside you at a much deeper and richer level, bringing it to the table. And as you do that, you're going to be able to help touch others. And your kids or your family or your friends will all be touched as you grow. There's no greater gift in life than to grow, because when we grow, we have more to give. And that's what this is all about. That's why Dean and I put this program together. This is really our Trojan horse for your own personal development, for your own growth, for your own spiritual, emotional, physical, and financial expansion. And why not? What else are you going to do with your life? Why not give it a whirl? Why not push through? Why not say, I'm not giving up? Why not say, I'm going to do this thing? I'm not going to give up. I'm going to find the way and make it happen. And we got the detailed plan for you. So that's why I stopped by today, to love on you, to respect you, and to call to you to say, let this be a new beginning. Don't settle. Let it all begin now. We'll see you soon.